part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Let's hope that we got the right lines now. I called the wrong pastor. So I've got the right pastor this time around. Pastor Chuma, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
Ah, there you go. That's a different voice right there. Thank you very much for holding, Pastor. I had called the wrong pastor, and I started a conversation with the wrong pastor.
You were lost.
I was. I'm sorry.
So the pastor was confused.
And he no. We're supposed to be talking to Pastor Ephraim about the sanctuary in the context of the Great Controversy, the book. So I'm talking to you about the sanctuary, but we're dealing with the various details of the ins and outs of the sanctuary. I made my dialing, I dialed the wrong pastor to talk about the same sanctuary, but different context.
Right topic, wrong pastor.
That's right. and when I asked him, he just drove in. He just went ahead like a pastor. He didn't say, no, we're not supposed to be talking about that. He just
what could he do?
he's a true pastor. He's a true pastor. I really appreciate his diligence there. Forgive me for taking your time, Fundis. Now, can I ask that we get into now the sanctuary, the ins and outs of the sanctuary? Take us through that, Fundis.
All right. I think I will quickly get into the furniture of the sanctuary.
Yeah.
And then go through a few items of the furniture. Yesterday we spoke about the sanctuary. It was the sanctuary, as we all know, it was in three compartments. We had the outer court, we had the holy place, and we had the most holy place. So the sanctuary was actually a picture of the whole story of salvation, how man is restored back to their creator.
Mm.
So the very first piece of furniture that we want to talk about is the altar of sacrifice. Altar of sacrifice. It was the first piece of a worshiper would encounter as he came through the door of the sanctuary. It was wood covered with brass, perfect square with horns on each of the four corners. Remember, we said God was very specific when He was giving directions
on how the
sanctuary was supposed to be done, because every part meant something. So this was the first. It tells us that judgment on sin and forgiveness must come first in one's approach to God. So it is sin, forgiveness, that's what comes first
in our
relationship with God. So that is the altar of sacrifice. That is where a sinner would come with their sacrifice and then take it to the altar and do the needful, transfer their sins and kill the animal, if it was a goat or whatever it was, and then they move to the next one. So the next piece that we want to talk about is the laver of washing. That's the second piece of furniture we want to talk about.
Yeah.
It was a washing basin for the priest. It was a washing basin for the priest. It came after the altar of sacrifice.
Yeah.
And before the entrance to the sanctuary. Remember, we said the sanctuary is in three compartments. There is the outer court. Then there is the holy place. So the holy place was a building. So before you enter into the holy place, there was a washing basin. It was made of polished copper. Its purpose was to wash.
Mm.
The priests had to daily wash their hands and feet from dirt and contamination before they worshiped God at the altar or enter the sanctuary to serve. So the priest, before he enters the sanctuary, he has to wash his hands, he has to wash his feet to make sure that he serves God clean. The second piece tells us that God is not only interested in the forgiveness of our sin, but also our daily cleanliness. So God does not only forgive us, He also says, we must be clean. Now, we have to realize that it was the what first? It was
the altar
first, then the basin.
Correct.
After.
Yes.
If the order was the other way around, like the laver first and the altar second, the picture would convey that Christ's gospel says to live clean and then be forgiven.
Ah. Ah, okay. You know?
It doesn't suggest that you come clean, then you're forgiven. No.
Yeah.
It says you come, you get forgiven,
mm-hmm.
then God gives you the strength to remain clean.
Yeah.
He gives you the power.
Okay.
The Holy Spirit cleans you up. The Holy Spirit makes you clean. So you go to Christ, as we always say, as we always suggest, that you come as you are. You come as you are, and then he comes and he forgives you. And then you realize that he doesn't forgive you because you've done anything clean. He forgives you because you've come to him.
Yeah.
He forgives you because you've accepted him as he is.
Yeah.
Then when you have accepted him as he is, he's the one who cleans you up.
Okay.
He cleans you up, and then the washing we are talking about here is the washing we wash through the word.
Okay.
The water of the word. We study our Bibles. As we study our Bible daily, the Bible will clean us up from wrong thinking. It will clean us up from wrong service so that our service is acceptable to God.
Okay.
So those are the two pieces that we see in the outer court.
Okay.
Then we now enter into the holy place. Now, the holy place contained gold.
Okay.
Not copper.
Okay.
It had a golden lampstand.
Okay.
It had a golden table of bread. It had golden altar of incense.
Yeah.
Now here, the priest who washed themselves, remember, before they entered, to perform service and representative worship unto the Lord. This part tells us that God is not only interested in our forgiveness and daily cleanliness, but also our worship.
Okay.
So the priests are entering there to do what we call worship. So there was the third piece, which is the golden lampstand.
Yeah.
On the south side of the holy place stood the pure golden lampstand. You know, the beauty of the sanctuary is nice when you have a picture and then you are busy pointing and say, you see this part, this is the south. You know, some of us, when we say south, north, the east, west, we don't even know where to face.
Yeah.
You know, the gold was formed into the shape of an almond tree in the full bloom of life by beating or hammering. So they'll shape it in an almond tree kind of shape. It had six fruitful branches with a central shaft, so there was actually seven lampstands there.
Yeah.
So these were designed to hold seven bowls filled with light. So light and life meshed together in one unit. The light was continual and was never to God. Now, what the one thing we want to talk about here is that in the holy place, light only came from the lampstand.
Yeah.
It only came from the lampstand. Now, there was no light at all in the holy place except that which came from the lampstand. Now, John 1 presents Jesus Christ as both light and life. He says, in him was life, and the life was the light of man.
Yeah.
He alone as God in the flesh gives eternal life and light to understand and God. So there was the golden lampstand in the holy place, and then there was a table of shoe bread.
Yeah.
There was a table of bread. Gold also. Opposite to the lampstand, there was bread. One could only see the bread because of the light that came from the golden lampstand.
Okay.
12 loaves of bread were set on it. So every week they would come and put 12 loaves. During the week, the bread was there, displayed before God. And on the Sabbath, the priests were to eat that bread. A table, if we could use a table, when it's your birthday, you take your friends, you sit on a table, and you have food. Mm. So it is a place of fellowship, especially while we are eating.
Okay.
We read the Lord's table. We remember in the psalm, it says, he prepared a table in the presence of my enemies. So even in the presence of our enemies, God prepares a table. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16 to 21 reminds us that we should break bread in fellowship, eating the body of Christ. So here God and men are in harmony over the same thing. We are in harmony over the same thing, which is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. His death was pleasing to the Father as an acceptable offering for our sin, and his death is precious to us as the means by which we are forgiven and know God's love. So this bread is just a reminder that we have a Christ who is a provider. We have a Christ who is also who also died for us as a sacrifice.
Okay. Okay.
Then we have an altar. We have an altar of incense. That is the third and the last piece of furniture in the holy place. It had four horns. This stood by the veil, which separated the holy place from the holy of holies. This altar was for one purpose only, to burn incense, not sacrifice. What we are burning in the altar of incense was incense. The incense was a special God-prescribed formula which sent out a rich, fragrant smoke when the priest lit it morning and evening. So the priest will come in the morning and light the incense. In the evening, he will light the incense again, and it will send some nice aroma, and then there will be some beautiful smell in the sanctuary. Incense pictures prayers to God.
Okay.
As we can find in Psalms 141 verse 2, Revelation 5 verse 8, when one prays in the name of God's priest, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, there is power, and it sends a pleasing aroma to God.
Yeah.
So if you want to please God, if you want to make God happy, the sanctuary services were teaching us that we need daily prayers,
yeah,
morning and evening prayers. We need to always pray to God, always send incense to God, always send our prayers to God, always send some beautiful aroma to God.
Yeah.
That was the second compartment of the sanctuary. Now we move into the last one, which is the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place. Here we are going to talk about two pieces of furniture again. Now, the holiest place contained the Ark of the Covenant, covered with a special lid called the Mercy Seat.
Okay.
This was where God's presence resided and where he communed with Moses. So it was a reminder of the presence of God in the sanctuary and in our lives.
Yeah.
The veil or curtain, as we discussed in passing yesterday, blocked the way so others could not enter in. So between the holy place and the most holy place, there was a curtain which did not allow anyone else to pass through to the other side except the high priest.
Yeah.
And it was such a holy place that even if something could happen, because things would happen in the most holy place, the high priest could fall and die. You could not even enter in to go and get him out.
Yeah.
So what they would do is that his veil or his garment has bells. As long as he's alive, you hear the bells ringing. And then you also tie his legs so that if the bell stopped ringing, some strong men could pull the priest out.
Because he's probably dead. Yes.
Yeah, if there are no bells, you are suspected. Ah, yeah. This guy must be dead.
Yeah.
Now you can't enter there to remove him, so you pull him out.
Right.
I can imagine sometimes the priest will just stand and then they'll wait a bit to hear if the bells are ringing. And then if they're not ringing, they'll pull a bit. Then it starts ringing. And say, ah, oh, okay. He's alive.
Yes, yes.
So the ark was made out of wood, covered with gold.
Mm.
With a spotting crown borderline, like the table and incense altar. It rested in the holiest place where God dwelt. The chest contained the two tablets of the Ten Commandments, God's standard of righteousness, and a golden pot of manna. So the Ten Commandments were also there to show that the Ten Commandments were not really for the Jews and the olden guys. It was because the temple, or rather the sanctuary, was built in the fashion of the heavenly sanctuary. It was showing us that the Ten Commandments are there to sustain our lives, are there forever and ever. And then we had Aaron's rod that budded with life. So there was the mercy seat, which shows that God's mercies are covering the Ten Commandments. Because you are men, we are human, we fail sometimes to meet the standard of righteousness, because the Ten Commandments are his standard of righteousness.
Yeah.
So sometimes we fail to meet that standard, and then God comes by his mercy to to clean us up, to make us righteous, to call us righteous, yet we don't deserve of that righteousness. The mercy seat?
Yeah.
The mercy seat was the cover of the ark. It was covering the ark. It was a solid gold beaten with into two winged cherubims, one at each end, looking down where God's presence was. So remember, the Ten Commandments are down. So the cherubims are also looking down where the God's presence was. The cherubims are involved with the protection of God's holiness. You know, God's holiness is always covered. You can't remove it. You can't take it away. Once a year, the high priest alone went in with sacrificial blood from the brazen altar to sprinkle it on the mercy seat to obtain forgiveness of sins for Israel. So once in 12 months, the high priest will enter there and then sprinkle the blood to ask for forgiveness for us as sinners. Remember, we killed the animals. We've been piling blood. We've been killing animals, transferring our sins to the animals. Mm. And then the sins are in that, are in the blood. Then once a year, the priest comes and says, you know what, let me just ask for forgiveness for my people. So the mercy seat tells us that there is mercy. It just reminds us that there is mercy with God.
Yeah.
The sacrifice of Christ is God's mercy seat. Romans 3 verse 25 says, the sacrifice of Christ is God's mercy seat.
Yeah.
So it is we find God's mercy in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us as believers. So those are the pieces of furniture that we want to discuss, that we wanted to go through quickly, because we started talking to a wrong pastor before we started discussing this piece of furniture. But yeah, so those are the pieces of furniture that were pointing us to the whole story of salvation.
Indeed, indeed.
That yes, we are far away from God. Yes, we have rebelled against God. But in Jesus Christ, we have the answer to all our situations. In God himself, we have the answers to all our situations.
Yeah.
So in the olden days before Jesus Christ came, it was an antitype of what would happen when Jesus Christ came. Then Jesus one day came and then died on the cross. When he died on the cross, that curtain that separated the holy and the most holy was torn in twain, showing us that, yes, the sacrifice has been done. Yes, the high priest has gone into the Holy of Holies to obtain mercy for us. All we needed to do now, like Israel would do that once in a year, we need to tabernacle around the sanctuary. Now the sanctuary in heaven, tabernacle around the sanctuary and pray for God's mercy and pray for God's forgiveness.
Okay.
Then through the services of the sanctuary, we are reminded that indeed we can obtain favor with our Lord.
Oh, Nkosiyam, thank you very much, Mfundisi. That's very encouraging. I liked from the very moment when you said it is not the water first, it is the altar first, which means you come as you are, and then you'll be cleansed. Mm-hmm. Ah, I liked that. Yeah. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. That's very much encouraging. Thank you very much, Mfundisi, for your patience and your insights. They're really helpful. Appreciate your time, Mfundisi.
Thank you so much.
It's never just about faith. It's how you actually live. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.